man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women moan, boys raised on shotguns. We say grace and we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn.
Welcome to the show, folks.
We came from the West Virginia.
Thank you for tuning us in. You are listening on Monday evening, August the 14th, 2017. You're listening to The Trump Phenomenon. I'm James Kelso. The program's live. I'm in North Dakota, and Paul Fromm with us from Canada. Hi, Paul.
Oh, hi.
yes, you. Hi, yes, Paul. yes, not the other Paul Fromm. And thank you, folks, for being with us as well. And you can participate in the show. It's always a live call-in show. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443 is our number if you would like to get into the conversation. Now, it's not too often Kelso is at a loss for words, but we're getting close tonight, because it's, the events of the last, how many hours has it been? Let's see, Saturday to Sunday to Monday, 48 hours about, has been pretty overwhelming. And I guess a thought I can articulate is it must also be overwhelming for our president. This is, he is being really beaten up in the national media. Of course, that's not new, but he's really getting a drubbing in the national media right now. And there are some excellent items that we could report tonight. Maybe we will get to those. There's a great story from Peter Navarro, who Donald Trump brilliantly appointed to head up our trade negotiations. Peter Navarro, the author of the amazing book entitled Death by China. My gosh. And he's got a story here where he says, the way Breitbart reports it, Peter Navarro says it's time to end the devil's bargain with China. Now, that would be enough of a story for me for an entire show on any night. But we, you know, obviously the story is Charlottesville. And the, the additional permutations and ramifications of Charlottesville keep developing by the hour. And, I don't think I'm going to really propound on the subject here tonight. I think for me, I'm going to absorb it for a few more days. And I guess I could summarize it this way, if I might venture a thought. I like to measure things in terms of, you know, did it help us or hurt us? And are we better off or are we worse off before and after something has happened? Well, you know, I'm not feeling real good about whether we're...
I'm not feeling really good either, James. And, you know, my big interest is white nationalism. If Donald Trump will help us, I'm for him. If not, I'm indifferent. Now, I haven't completely lost my faith, but I think his first reaction was just barely acceptable. He said he denounced bigotry. I don't like playing their game. Standing up for white rights is not bigotry. But if you say it is, well, then, you know, we've already lost. And although I don't know how it was reported in other media, CNN was never explained the violence. They showed the same three or four clips of confrontations and some guy throwing a newspaper box. Wasn't clear who was doing this. However, if you listen to the people who were there, including Representative Dr. David Duke, it was a real ambush of state interference and anti-racist violence. The state wanted to the government wanted to shut the rally down. That's what they wanted. There was a peaceful gathering on at the University of Virginia on Friday at Torchlight Parade. It went off without a hitch. There were some anti-racists there, but there's no fighting or confrontation. On Saturday, the police herded the white nationalists into an area where they would have to go by the Antifa as they entered the park. And there were no barriers. It was appalling policing, or maybe deliberate. At first, there were shouting and so on, and then there was violence. The Antifa attacked the white nationalists, and there were some punch-ups. The police had very little presence. They didn't stop it, but then they now had the excuse to prevent the speeches, which is apparently what they wanted. And as David Duke was saying, what they really wanted was to not to allow a peaceful gathering of probably the largest number of, you know, young white nationalists, certainly in the last 20 or 30 years. So now then the story becomes violence and denunciations from across the political spectrum. And I think people, a lot of the United States amoral, anti-white establishment showed their hands. And I don't mean the Democrats. That's what you expect. But people like Orrin Hatch, who said he lost a brother to fighting Nazism and there's no place for Nazism in the United States. He's either senile and just doesn't know what went on. Or his comments explain why these guys haven't delivered. The Republicans had a majority in the House of Representatives and the Senate for at least one session during Bush, George W. Bush. They've got a majority now. And what do they do for white people? Because the immigration invasion continues, except for what Donald Trump has been able to accomplish, and that's good.
Well, that's an important except.
And affirmative action. They've done nothing, and I don't mean Donald Trump. I mean the Republicans like Orrin Hatch. He's been the chairman of the Senate Judiciary. These guys have betrayed us, and they showed their hand when they ganged up on white people on Saturday and Sunday. And I'm afraid with his statement today, Donald Trump is beginning to feed the crocodile. Now he denounces the white nationalists and white supremacists. Well, does that mean he's not a white nationalist? White supremacist is
well. Here's my thought, Paul. Here's my thought. Everything you said is accurate, but my thought is this: I wish, you know, doesn't count for much, but I wish my wish that is, I wish we would think in terms of results and in terms of what we. I hope we still have it. And I hope it will, going forward, we will continue to have it. And that is, we had a miracle in the White House. And we had a miracle of actual action in the interests of our people that we've never had in our lives. And I, to my way of thinking, all of that supersedes, transcends, outweighs all, you know, all niceties of, you know, who threw what at whom and who, you know, all these things which made, you know, which are, everything you said was accurate. However, if the result of what happened is that we went backwards, you know, it's our responsibility to not do that, to not go backwards. Now, I understand, of course, Antifa wants us to go backwards. Well, we already knew that. Police in a certain circumstance and governors like McAuliffe, they want us to go backwards. We already know that. And as I say, I'm at a loss for words. I don't know what the right strategy is right now, but the if this turns out very badly for our cause, it's not, you know, who's right and who's wrong gets washed away in the reality of what happened, of the reality of the result. And the result I'm talking about, this is what I was talking about with Dr. Kevin McDonald. It's sales 101 and public relations 101. Our public is our white kinsmen. And what we're trying to, you know, what we have to protect and what we have to try to enhance is, because we're trying to sell an idea. We're trying to sell the idea of racial survival to our kinsmen, that it's a great idea and that they need to pursue it. If what they think is what counts, not what we think, not what, you know, a micro analysis of the video shows is who's the bad guy and who is innocent. What counts is what all those millions of white people out there, what is their impression of what happened in Charlottesville? And yes, of course, it's accurate to say that that impression is now being formed by a torrent, an onslaught of media hype and exaggeration and falsehood and, you know, editing and, you know, video and the whole thing. But, boy, you know, and this becomes pertinent, Paul, because some of the people involved in Charlottesville, their statement now is, well, we've just begun. We're going to do a lot more of these. And the, I'm at a loss for words. You know, we're
I see a couple of things happening. Number one, other news is going to overshadow this. There's an ongoing crisis with North Korea. We could be in a shooting situation in a few days. I'm not saying that we will be, but there's a strong likelihood. People have the attention span of a fruit fly. And yeah, this is big news today, CNN wall to wall, but tomorrow it might be something else.
I hope you're right.
Second, I hope you're right. And I think this is important. A lot of now our voice will begin to be heard in the social media. I've already watched a couple of good videos of more of an explanation of what happened and the truth. Now, that'll take a while to get out. The CNN actually didn't tell you anything except there was violence. Nazis, white supremacists, racists, and from the video clips, it was impossible to know who was hitting who. Just people were whacking at each other. And I think that will begin to balance. Also, thank heavens, because of Trump, a lot of people no longer trust the mass media. CNN says it's true, that people don't necessarily say, oh, yeah, it must be true. So I throw that into the mix. And I also think, I am amazed, I'm dumbfounded, they got 6,000 people out there. That is an incredible achievement. It's one thing to get...
Yeah, now, I don't know that there were 6,000 of us there, Paul.
That's right.
I've talked to people that were there. And I've heard of, you know, a considerably smaller number. I'm not trying to minimize it. I wasn't there, so I hope an accurate count will come. You know, will come out.
I think the other thing is that these people are young and they're determined. And this is not their first rally. I heard one in the interview with Dr. David Duke, the fellow who was talking to him said, "Well, I was at a rally in Pikeville, Kentucky, and I was in some other place." Where we had 300 or 400, and the police handled it very professionally there. They kept the anti-white, anti-protest, anti-fa protesters, let's say, on one side of the street.
Well, Pikeville has some lessons, I believe, embedded in it. In Pikeville, this is a different story. In Pikeville, there was no violence.
Yes.
And the police did good policing. You're right. Pikeville is a small town in eastern Kentucky, folks, right in the middle of traditional coal country. And the Antifa was there. White nationalists were there. But here's the part that, boy, I would take it to heart. The people of Pikeville rose up against both Antifa and the white nationalists and told both to get out of town. And they did not want the imagery that the white nationalists brought. They didn't want it. The associations, they didn't want it. And the mistake that was made was that the white America wants traditional white patriotism. They want Americanism. I mean, with Dr. McDonald, I said the watchword should be Americana, Americana, Americana. They don't want to see a whole bunch of weird flags where they're scratching their heads trying to figure out, well, what does that flag mean? And what's that association that looks kind of like something else I've seen? And and that feeds the media, of course, the media. And then you get all sorts of people. Well, I know I'm kind of wandering all over the place, but I try to give a hopeful word here. I think that Jared Taylor at the American Renaissance Conference, which I have been celebrating since it took place a couple of weeks ago, Jared Taylor had an approach that works. And that's what I think counts here, is not like, I was right. And, I'm right. I'm in the right. That doesn't matter. In reality, what matters is who won, and who won is determined by who won the minds of white people. Jared's approach in northwest of Nashville, Tennessee, at the American Renaissance Conference was this. He said to all of us before the event began, he said, do not interact with these Antifa people, and I'll just use Antifa to summarize that there are all sorts of, as you say correctly, Paul, anti-white and anti-white, basically, radicals. Do not interact with them. Don't talk with them. Don't yell at them. Certainly don't throw anything back at them, or stay inside here in the hotel, in the inn. Stay utterly safe. Let the police be the only interface with these people. And the police were being very well. The result of Jared's approach was a complete success. The police did a great job of, they were the only people interacting with the Antifa people. The Antifa people didn't score any media success at all, zero. They looked like idiots. So that when they got on camera and the news crew showed up hoping for something that they could put on national news, like what just happened in Charlottesville. So the national media had nothing. The people there Nashville, about 350 of us, looked very good, very well attired, very well, groomed and comported. We looked great. I thought, boy, there's a template for success. I had great anxiety and worry about Charlottesville for a bunch of reasons. I don't want to, be a know-it-all here. But I thought, here's something that's going to be out in the street. It's going to be basically uncontrolled. The Antifa is, from the Antifa point of view, this is a tremendous opportunity. From our point of view, this is a nightmare. And it turned out to be exactly that, a nightmare. And, the police, now the Tennessee police were far more, professional and did a much better job. But I'll explain after this break why I think they did so much better and how we can influence that. Be right back.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis and before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday. When a man could still work, still would. It's the best of the free life.
Free life behind us now. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to the Trump Phenomenon. Thank you to the engineer for letting me know we've got three callers waiting to go on the air. Annabelle in South Carolina, Mike in Maryland, and Rhonda in Missouri. So we will go to the three of you in that order. May I just add another word here, and that is the, I hope that we will be very truthful with ourselves about whether, well, Paul, here's my incredible concern. Our relationship as a movement with Donald Trump is the best thing we have had happen to us in our lifetimes. And that's in jeopardy right now. Donald Trump, through no doing of his own, has been put into a pickle where he's got to, he now has, you know, just like cackling hyenas He's got everybody, you know, at every level of government demanding that he throw us under the bus. And he has left, you know, he did not put himself in this situation. And I'm just submitting humbly, folks, I'm submitting, we've got to be careful what, you know, a military commander is responsible for his army. And so a smart thing to do, for example, is to fight on your terrain. That's what Jared Taylor did west of Nashville. That's our terrain. Every other house, as I drove to the event, every other house had an American flag flying in front of it. Every other house. It's patriot country. That's where Jared Taylor fought his battle. Our enemy, it's important. It's incumbent upon a military commander or a leader, just a leader, let's put it that way, to have the short supply lines and communication lines and let the enemy have the extended, desperate supply lines. Well, that's what Jared did in west of Nashville. People like, what's his face, the black guy from New Jersey.
General Lamont Jenkins.
I have a permanent mental block against
his name. The Black Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah, Lamont Jenkins was there. I mean, it was not a small contingent. It was not that Jared did not face a stiff enemy. He did. Lamont Jenkins drove whatever it is, like 10 hours, 12 hours off from New Jersey to get to west of Nashville, and with a bunch of people like him. But he was worn out. He had to be. You know, he had to find a motel or sleep in a tent or sleep in his car. At Charlottesville, the enemy had the short lines of communication. Charlottesville's their town. They control it. That governor there is their governor. And then I said I would mention about hostile or friendly police work. The police in west of Nashville were wonderful. They were state park troopers commanded by the state parks director, who issued a formal statement saying these people have a First Amendment right to speak, and this public facility, our state park, we are obligated to make it available to them as long as they obey the law, which they are doing. And that was very forceful. That's the sixth year running. You know, when you see a success, you know, keep doing it. Jared Taylor, for the sixth year running, had that big success, 350 people, very big event, on the order of magnitude of Charlottesville. Charlottesville was not a huge, huge army of people. It might have been 1,500, possibly. We don't know. But there'll be a count. And here's one of the sad things. One of the counts that we're getting on who was there is that on Twitter and Facebook, the enemy, which has now blossomed into a huge number of people, is identifying every single face and person that they can see on any video, trying to get them fired, at one Nevada university. Within one day, there were 10,000 signatures to expel a student who was there at Charlottesville. We'll come right back when we'll get to the callers. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Some folks call me a rambling man. I do a lot of thumbing and kicking cans, and it wouldn't do an ounce of good to call my name. 'Cause daddy's name wasn't Willie Woodrow, and I wasn't born and raised in no ghetto. Just a white boy,
looking for a place to do my thing. We're back, folks. And a little Merle Haggard is always good enough to cheer me up. We're going to go to our callers in just a moment. And just completing my thought about law enforcement, the law enforcement in Tennessee was very friendly to us. I mean, I don't want to put words in their mouths and say, well, they were on our side and so on, and get them in trouble. I will make a more measured statement. They were very professional with us. They were perfectly professional. I mean, every word, everything they said was yes, sir, yes, ma'am, may I. They looked great. They weren't in battle gear. They were in their, the uniforms they would wear policing a state park. They looked great. And they treated us very, very well. And let me offer my explanation as to why. And, I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. We're going to have more events. We've got another 7.5 years with Donald Trump. I say we can't blow it. We can't afford to blow it. We can have all kinds of events. Our leaders can design different kinds of events. And I hope they're looking at what worked, as in Jared's case, and what didn't work. And I submit that Charlottesville did not work. And I hope stubbornness is not a good trait in leadership. if something didn't work, I don't think the motto or the moral of the story is, well, try it again until it works. I think that's the definition of stupidity, is trying what didn't work, hoping it will work in the future. And the why did these police treat us so well? Well, it's because we looked to them like we looked like salt of the earth Americana to them. The clothes we were wearing, professional like theirs. All those police were in uniform. They had a tie. Their shirt was pressed. So were ours. We weren't looking affluent or something like this. We were looking professional. We were smiling. We weren't yelling. We weren't calling people names and having shouting matches. We looked professional. We were also, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, thank you, ma'am, and may I. We looked professional. We looked to them like the people they have made a career out of protecting. We looked like the America that they have made their life's work protecting. And those cops in Charlottesville, I guarantee you, if you interviewed them, if you talked to them, they're not a bunch of beasts. They're probably, their profile, and they're in Virginia, is probably exactly like the profile of their brothers and sisters in Tennessee. And when they get those combat suits and those assault suits off and those masks, they're probably decent, probably like the police in Tennessee, where we're 100% white. I don't want to get them in trouble by saying that, but I'm sure that was true also in Charlottesville. But what the Charlottesville police saw in us was a different image. We didn't look like, we looked like the sort of thing they're trained to fight. And that's what they did. So, and that's what they're going to do in the future. You know, so let's use our brains. I've heard some leaders in our movement saying that they are going to, you know, now we've just begun. This was a big success. Now we're going to do a lot more of these. I think that would be a stupendous error. Now let's open up the lines to callers. Let's start with Annabelle, I think a first-time caller in South Carolina. Annabelle, you're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I was at the rally this weekend. I got there after it was over. Got here about 1:30. My thought is because the governor called us abhorrent, and it was encouraged, the college students were encouraged to come and counter-protest, and the clergy were invited to come and counter-protest. I think this is set up to be a catastrophe to shut down the white voice. And the reason I say that is, Antifa
attacked. I agree with you, Annabelle. I agree with you. And, I think you're going to, and thank you, by the way, Annabelle. I think you and I talked on the phone while you were driving back from the... And thank you so much for calling. Here's my point. Here's Kelso's point. What you described, that the governor, you know, this communist governor, McAuliffe, who's a Hillary, you know, he's in the bag for Hillary Clinton, very corrupt. The government of the Charlottesville, also very corrupt, very left wing. We knew all this. We knew all this months before the event. So, notice, we decided to have an event in hostile territory with hostile government leaders having command. And another thing that's true about police is police are very duty-oriented. And thank goodness they are. So when they get, they're very command and hierarchy-oriented. And thank goodness they are. We don't want freebooting, vigilante police. So when they get an order from their governor, they obey it. And an order from their chief of police and the head of the state police, they obey it. And, you know, it was, you know, I was watching video of Richard Spencer begging, pleading with the police. He kept saying, don't do it. Don't do this. Don't do this. You know, and he was talking to people who have orders. He's not talking to a commander. He's talking to police walking by him in full riot gear, who are clearly preparing. They had all their weapons out, you know, they're not lethal weapons, but they had like a metal sort of baton that they were going to, if needed, strike people with, and it was going to hurt. And they were clearly there to clear that park, to get the people out of there. And they were going to do it. And so, you know, they're, you know, to think you're going to have a conversation with police that have been put into riot mode and SWAT team mode is, you know, we can do better than that. This has to be handled in advance, before, the way Jared has done it. He has a six-year running great relationship with the police of the state parks of Tennessee. The governor hates us. The city council in the nearby town, hates us. And they've tried to, evict us from the event and all of that. Jared has very patiently built, a legal and public relations base so that the event is very successful. And Jared's problem next year is going to be it's possible Montgomery Bell Park will be too small for the maybe 500 people that show up because it's kind of maxed out at 350. But go ahead. I interrupted you, and I apologize, Anna Mill. Tell us more, please.
Okay, the reason I believe this to be so, I didn't really get it until today. So today I start listening to, I listened to Fox. I told you about the thing with Fox, just it was a propaganda piece against white people. I listened to Rush Limbaugh today, and he kind of gave us a slam, but then he came back and he really came in the back door and supported the white man. I listened to Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity called us monsters, and it was just slamming us 100%.
Annabelle, let me pause you. Annabelle, let me pause you right there. Sean Hannity, you see, has been a hero for us, up to this moment. He has been a tremendous hero for us.
He takes so what the, I'm saying is this: is that Fox News has their marching orders that they talk about it in this fashion. And so then tonight I...
But Annabelle, here's what I'm saying. Annabelle, here's what I'm saying. We can't afford losses like Sean Hannity, who every night, every day was just putting out fantastic research that was so brilliant and monologues that were so forceful. I was just quoting them right here, on the show. If Sean Hannity is driven to denouncing us for whatever reason, but those are all baked in the cake. In other words, if we put Sean Hannity, by our decisions, put him in a position where he feels compelled to denounce us, and President Trump feels compelled to denounce us, all the benefits, well, not all, I don't want to start exaggerating myself, but we go backwards to a condition that we were in, I say BT, which is before Trump, and that's a nightmare to me. That if we have to go back
is what I have seen today. Is Fox News is in lockstep with the government of Virginia. And what was said today on the different shows, Sean Hannity, it was for the middle-class white person out there watching Fox News and hearing about these horrific neo-Nazis, white supremacists, these monsters saying, oh, my God, we aren't like that. And it shuts down their voice because the white angry man got Trump elected. And as I said, I called in the Mark Levin show four times I got through. The first time I said, I was there. These are not neo-Nazis. These are not white supremacists, and they hung up on me. The second time I called, I said, I was there. Antifa attacked the white people. They hung up on me. The third time I called, I said, I want to compare the riots in Ohio with Charlottesville and that this was a government thing to shut down the white voice because they have to shut white people down because white people will not be allowed to have civil rights representation.
Now, Annabelle,
the fourth time I called, I said, wouldn't you just like to hear the white point of view of what happened there? And he said,
Annabelle,
ahead.
The answer is no, Annabelle. See, that's the problem. Annabelle, we've got to be realistic. Donald Trump, when you say the angry white man elected him, yes, he did. But the angry white man was 66 million strong. It wasn't the little group that it's still a little group that we assembled at a rally. That's not who elected Donald Trump. And he knows that. Sean Hannity knows it.
But every 66 million white men sitting out there and hearing us being called neo-Nazis and white supremacists and dogs and dirt.
Well, hang on,
they
Annabelle.
Said, oh my God,
Annabelle.
We aren't like
Annabelle.
That, and they will not,
it's good to be.
They will shut down.
Annabelle, it's good to be passionate, but you got to watch out that you're listening to your own passion. Okay, in Pikeville, it was the white citizens who threw us out. Okay, and here's what we have to fear: getting ejected from the Trump train. if our movement is en masse invited off the Trump train, that is really bad for us, very bad for us. We're back. We're not only back in the position we were before Trump, we're in a worse position. And that doesn't, that didn't, we, again, what is leadership, Annabelle? We have real leaders can have choose the battlefield, choose the tactics, and they achieve an outcome that's cleverly, crafted and created with the forces at hand. If we have a catastrophe, it's easy to blame. Of course, we have enemies all around us, and we can blame our enemies for our failures. That's easy to do. But the point is, a week ago, we didn't have this problem that we have right now. We didn't have a problem. So where did the problem come from? Did our enemies all of a sudden just spring into action, or did we make a colossal mistake and give them an opportunity?
I think
here's the more important thing. What's going to happen in the months to come? We could create rallies, Annabelle, that would get us very firmly ejected from the Trump train, and would have Sean Hannity calling us. Did he use the word monsters? Is that the word he used?
He did. He called us monsters.
Okay. Well, that's not good. That's not good.
And then we could
pontificate, Annabelle. We could pontificate that Sean's wrong, Trump's wrong. The Trump train is wrong. The 66 million people, they're wrong. Okay, and we're right. But being right and losing, I'd rather be a little bit humble.
That's not what I'm saying, Jamie. That's
still
not
be
what
winning.
I'm saying at all.
Okay.
I'm saying those people could have gone there and had their little speeches and left. This was a planned catastrophe, and I do not blame the white people. I blame Antifa. Antifa threw used tampons at these people, urine, fecal matter. They had concrete and water bottles throwing them at these people. I read on the Forward tonight, the Forward is
those,
a Jewish,
yeah.
It's a Jewish
Annabelle,
newspaper.
They had those, I'm sure they had those in the trunks of their cars in Nashville waiting for us. But we didn't walk out into firing range. There was nothing.
Well,
there was nothing.
I don't think Antifa was there, because I've been to Jared Taylor's events, and
there were
just
more
a few people there, and they
Annabelle,
say their chants, and they do this, and they leave.
Annabelle, I was there. They had way over 100 right in front of the inn, way over 100 right there in our faces. It was very numerous and included this guy, Jenkins, if that was his name, Lamar Jenkins. It included him and included other very prominent people who were also at Charlottesville, very same people at Charlottesville. So it was a very strong contingent, but they achieved nothing. And it's because we were smart. That's why they achieved
nothing.
You were inside a hotel.
You weren't out there with a permit to hear speakers in a park. No, I'm not going to blame the white guys that went there and did that.
Annabelle, I'm not blaming any of our guys, okay? I'm saying that
it sounds like it.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that when Robert E. Lee failed miserably at Gettysburg, ordering Pickett wrongly, huge mistake as a general. He ordered Pickett to charge straight right up a hill into the massed Union artillery, and Pickett, his whole division was destroyed. General Lee, that was actually the man whose statue we're talking about, General Lee tendered his resignation to Jefferson Davis, because as a general, he realized, I really made a big mistake. He didn't blame the Union for his defeat at Gettysburg. He blamed himself as a general. And that kind of honesty, of course, he kept his position as a general, but that kind of honesty in command, that's all I'm asking for, is that we look at things objectively, not self-righteously, or I'm the world's I am a cheerleader par excellence, but cheerleading is not always the self-critical way to actually correct mistakes. Anyway, Annabelle, I want to thank you for
Well, thank you. I appreciate you letting me speak. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's an honor, Annabelle. Let's go to Mike in Maryland. Mike, what's on your mind?
Oh, wow, 35 minutes wait. Hey, listen, I managed to call into C-SPAN this morning at 7:30, and the topic was, did Donald Trump go far enough in his explanation or his apology for the violence in Charlottesville? So let me just play very briefly
Mike,
if I may.
Oh, wait a minute, Mike, no, just give us a comment, please. We don't have time for recordings, please.
It's
just give
minute.
Us a... No, give me a comment now. Give me a point. Make a point.
Okay, I've been waiting 35 minutes. Never mind, forget
yes.
it.
Okay, well, thank you, Mike. we got a break coming up, and then Rhonda, who I know will have something good to say right after this break. Stay tuned.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Nutramedical's new True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way. And what I live for is a chance to change and be everything I can be.
And we're in our last segment, welcoming Rhonda from Missouri. Rhonda, cheer us up.
Hi, Paul.
Come in, Rhonda.
How are you doing? Yeah, hi. Hello?
Hi.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Okay. Yeah, I just have a couple of points to make, and thank God I don't watch the mainstream media, so it gets me going. So I just want to make some side points. I think it's interesting how the media reports, like, we don't know the truth, and I think more people are awake than have been in a long time. So the people that are awake are watching them going, what are they talking about? Like, they're kind of off base, I think. Not everybody's awake, but I just think the media is a little off base. Like, we don't know what's going on.
Yes, of course.
You know, they keep pushing their agenda. And secondly, Hollywood is also a problem, is they're pushing their agenda. I know you know this. Donald Sutherland.
Rhonda, pertaining here to Charlottesville, we've ceded, with this event, we've ceded that media control back to that media. And we're not reporting this. You know, this, we don't have control of this. Pickett has been ordered to go up the hill into the Union artillery, and he's getting wiped out.
There are some good points here, though. So Hollywood's pushing their agenda. Donald Sutherland apologizing for being entitled and rich. The only thing he can certifiably apologize for, in my opinion, it's not for being white, because you can't help being whatever color you are.
I failed to make a key point. And let folks just think of this. 1,000 to 1. Just remember this. 1,000 to 1. I don't think we think about this. The Donald Trump phenomenon is give or take something, 1,000 times bigger than our movement. Not 10 times, not 100 times. It's 1,000 times bigger. He got 66 million votes in spite of total opposition by the same media you're describing, Rhonda. He destroyed 16 establishment shills in a face of total hundreds of millions of dollars of opposition, totally hostile press. He beat them. He got 66 million good white people, overwhelmingly white, to vote for him. Our movement, Rhonda, is not like we're somebody else standing next to Donald Trump. We can critique him. We, in the best we've ever done in elections is, we had a recent election. Our best performance in 2016 was 50,000 votes. That's less than 1,000th of what Donald Trump got. So here's what I'm saying. This is the seriousness of the problem, folks. It's that if we...
Oh, man.
We're in real trouble if we don't retain our ticket on the Trump train. Rhonda,
we'll resume. Good points to make.
We'll pick it up, and
really
we'll pick them up tomorrow night, Rhonda. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. See you tomorrow night. Hopefully, there's some good news between now and then.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.